It would have put 1,500 more border agents at the border. It would have reduced the flow of fentanyl into our country, which is killing people all over our country of every race and background. It would have allowed us to do more work on prosecuting transnational criminal organizations, which I have done in my career.
Dear God, help me. Please, please help me. God, please, from the heavens above, please give me strength. Because, give me strength, God. She opened the border. she opened the border. Biden and Kamala Harris opened the border. They said, come, come in. Everybody come in because we're having a party, you know? Hi, welcome or welcome back to 12F Media. My name is Greg, your host. If you're new to this channel, we're all about discussing complex, cultural, political, and even theological-based subjects, making them more digestible to the common person, all from a conservative and Christian lens. And I do hope that resonates with you. So Kamala Harris was just on The Breakfast Club, and bro, she lied a lot. So we're going to watch it, and we're going to react to it. Let's get right into it.
Now, you know, one thing they've been saying, a lot of your press hits get criticized. You know, folks say you come off as very scripted. They say you like to stick to your talking points. And some media says you have...
That would be called discipline.
Oh, okay.
Speak okay, but go on.
No, I was going to say, some people say you have an inability to fearlessly say who you are and what you believe. I know that's not true. But, but what do you say to that criticism? And is it fair for SNL to make fun of it?
Hasn't Maya Rudolph been wonderful?
Yes.
I think I have nothing but admiration for the comedy, and I think it's important to be able to laugh at yourself and each other.
But what do you say to people who say
in the spirit of obviously comedy and yes, not belittling people as my opponent would do?
What do you say to people who say you stay on the talking points?
I would say you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, here's the thing. I love having conversations, which is why I'm so happy to be with you this afternoon. And the reality is that there are certain things that must be repeated to ensure that I have everyone know what I stand for and the issues that I think are at stake in this election.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think the point is she actually doesn't answer the questions, like ever. Like she never stays on topic and actually answers the question full on. She always gives the runaround of, look, I was born in a middle class family where people in my neighborhood were really proud of their lawns. Like that's, she always starts with that. Always. We don't care about the fact that you grew up in a middle class family. Answer the question. Answer the question. Please. Please. Please.
Requires repetition. You know, some people say that until someone has heard the same thing at least three times, it just doesn't stay with you. So repetition is important. And for that reason, yes, at my rallies, I say the same thing when I go to Detroit as I do in Philly, as I do wherever I am, to make sure that people hear and receive what I think are some of the most critical issues that are at stake in this election.
There has to be a high level of anxiety, too, when you have these conversations, though, because you are running for president.
I mean, you know what? There is certainly a lot of I feel the weight
mm-hmm.
of the moment and my role. I feel an extraordinary weight of responsibility right now to do everything I can. I'm telling you, Charlamagne, when I go to bed at night, I almost every night, in addition to my prayers, will ask, have I done everything I could do today?
Mm.
This is a margin of error race. It's tight. I'm going to win.
No.
But it's tight. And, you know, what is at stake is truly profound and almost and historic, many would say. There is so much at stake, whether America is going to stand on its principles around the importance of sovereignty and territorial integrity and stand with our allies around the world, or whether we're going to admire dictators and send during the height of COVID in the pandemic, COVID tests that nobody could get to the president of Russia for his personal use when black people were dying every day by the hundreds during that time.
Yeah, I feel like that one has gone over people's heads, the fact that he was sending COVID tests to Putin.
Okay, they bring that up But do they understand? Kamala Harris is part of the administration right now in office with Joe Biden, where instead of helping everyday Americans, they're sending tax dollars, our money, to other countries to fund their government, to fund their way of life. There, none of that money is being put back into black and brown people or white people, any community in America. Homeless veterans. It's not, they're not helping at all. But yet they're saying that Donald Trump sending COVID packages to Russia is an issue. Okay, sure. Okay, I'll give that to you. It could be an issue, right? But you're making it worse. What are you doing? Your current administration that you work for, Kamala Harris, however you pronounce her name, you're not helping. What are you doing right now? Do American people have money in their pockets? Do they have extra money to feed their children? Do they have extra money to go on vacation? But yet you're talking about how Donald Trump sent some COVID packages to Russia. Interesting.
And one of the biggest pieces of misinformation, one of the biggest allegations against you is that you targeted and locked up thousands of black men in San Francisco for weed. Some say you did it to boost your career. Some say you did it out of pure hate for black men. Please tell us the facts. What's the facts of that situation?
It's just simply not true. And what public defenders who are around those days will tell you, I was the most progressive prosecutor in California on marijuana cases and would not send people to jail for simple possession of weed. And as vice president, have been a champion for bringing marijuana down on the schedule. So instead of it being ranked up there with heroin, we bring it down. And my pledge is, as president, I will work on decriminalizing it, because I know exactly how those laws have been used to disproportionately impact certain populations and specifically black men.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into the talkback feature and take some questions from the audience, I do want to talk.
No. I'm not going to let Charlamagne the God just skate past that. Let's look at the facts of this situation. Kamala Harris was literally the DA in San Francisco when she was elected in 2003. Later on, she was elected as Attorney General of California in 2010, and then she was reelected after her first term. Now, she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations. Tulsi Gabbard did a number on her like years back when she was running for president the first time around. She's lying. She's literally lying.
Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
Bro, why does he not fact? Well, obviously, I know why he's not fact checking her. He supports Kamala Harris because he's clearly, Charlamagne the God is clearly against any idea that Trump would, be president again. So yeah, makes sense. But bro, I'm gonna call her out. This is ridiculous, and he's not gonna do it. So somebody has to.
About the legalization of weed, because you're saying you want to legalize it now. What steps did the Biden administration take to get closer to that reality?
So we had to work with the DEA, and it's, there's a certain level of bureaucracy that exists in the federal government that slows things down. But essentially, to bring down how weed is classified, how marijuana is classified, to make it classified as a lesser harm. Mm-hmm. And so that took some time. There's a whole process around that. But that's the work that we have done, in addition to work that we have done writ large on criminal justice reform.
Okay.
Okay, but what is that? What is that work? But what is that work though? What exactly did you do specifically? She didn't actually answer the question. What did you specifically do? As far as the bureaucracy, it's very complicated, sure. But like, what specifically did you do to combat those minor drug offenses, I guess, from affecting those people who were imprisoned? How did you decriminalize marijuana in that way? What did you do? What work did you specifically do? How? What structures did you put in place? She didn't even answer, but he's moving. Of course, he's moving on to the next question, though. Of course he is. We're going to skip ahead because we're not going to watch this entire interview. I'll spare you that. We'll skip ahead and we'll take a look at some other parts of this.
Hey, Reverend.
What's up, Reverend?
Madam Vice President Charlemagne.
Yes,
thank
sir.
Y'all for being in Detroit tonight.
Thank you.
Recently, Madam Vice President, by one of Trump's surrogates from the Black faith-based community, you've been criticized by him and others for your lack of engagement to the Black church. Hmm. Knowing that the Black church is an unrivaled place in the heart of Black people, what could you speak to as it relates to a future Harris administration, how you would partner with the Black church to address some of the urgent needs of the Black community? Dr. King talked about the fierce urgency Absolutely. Of right now, and as a church, Triumph Church is in that place.
So first of all, that allegation, of course, is coming from the Trump team, because they are full of mis- and disinformation, because mm-hmm. they are trying to disconnect me from the people I have worked with and that I am from, so that they can try and have some advantage in this election, because otherwise they have nothing to run on. I grew up in the Black church. I grew up attending 23rd Avenue Church of God in Oakland, California.
That's church.
Yes, that is church. My pastor is Amos C. Brown of Third Baptist Church in San Francisco, California.
Yes.
I have throughout my career and as vice president and recently been actively engaged in the church and church leaders, not only so we can share in fellowship, but so we can share in what we can do together that is about supporting the community, the strength of the community, the cohesion of the community. And it is my longstanding work and therefore my pledge going forward. I will always work closely with the church because I understand who our church leaders are and who the congregation is. We are talking about people who are driven.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't know who the congregation is. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know who the congregation is. Then what do Christians stand for? And why are you standing against that? And what I mean by that is, Christians do not support it. Well, if you're an actual Christ follower, like follower of Christ, actually, then you don't support abortion at all. There are some people who are understanding of some exceptions as far as the life of the mother or if it's, you know, rape or incest. I have no specific view on that. I won't even comment on it right now, but I can understand it. That's all I'll say. But she's for abortion for all 9 months. So why? But you're a Christian, though. But she knows what the congregation is and what they stand for, though. 100%. Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah, of course. Duh.
And the ability to see what is possible by faith, where I was raised, and I know many of us were, understanding that our God is a loving God, that our faith propels us to act in a way that is about kindness and justice and mercy, that is about lifting one another up.
Is justice and mercy, I'm so sorry for pausing it. I'm sorry, but I gotta say, is justice and mercy, does that look like abortion to you, killing an unborn child? Does that look like justice and mercy to you? Does that look like justice and mercy to you, Kamala Harris? Does that look like justice and mercy to you? Because that doesn't look like justice and mercy to me. That doesn't look like justice and mercy. That doesn't look like justice and mercy to me. Okay? What are you talking about, bro? Like, what are you... Okay. All right. I need to calm down. I need to calm down. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's just absurd, bro. It's genuinely absurd to me. But... God is, yeah, she's right. God is a loving God, but he's also a God of wrath. You can't have good without bad. You can't have light without dark. So if God is loving, God also hates some things too. Don't be misunderstood, Kamala Harris. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Okay, a couple of quick things. Like the video if you haven't already and hit the bell icon so you get notifications every time I upload. Also, follow and engage with me directly on X. I'm trying to be more engaging on there. So if you want, you can give me a follow on there.
And let's talk about the contrast here. Donald Trump and his followers spend full time trying to suggest that the measure of the strength of a leader is based on who you beat down, which is absolutely contrary to the church I know.
He sells Bibles,
where,
though.
Where our church and my church is about saying true leadership, the measure of that is based on who you lift up. And right. And then he's selling $60 Bibles.
No.
Or tennis shoes.
No.
And trying to play people as though.
No. Hold on. You. A leader is supposed to also help people up by putting more money in their pockets. That's what people really want. If you had to choose. Between choosing more money in your pocket so that it increased your way of life and your quality of life, or between that and someone who is telling you good pleasantries and good, beautiful things in your ear, whispering in your ear, but they don't do any work. Like, they don't actually put more money in your pocket. Would you rather someone who's a little bit more loudmouth and maybe doesn't really say the politically correct thing, but he does the work on your behalf? Or would you rather someone who's a career politician, like Kamala Harris, that tells you sweet pleasantries? Me, personally, I would rather have someone who is working on my behalf, but maybe isn't the most politically correct person. At least you're working on my behalf, though. You know, at least I got a little bit more money in my pocket. I would rather that. Most people would say the same thing, but they're too blinded by what the media is telling them. The fake news. I actually would say Donald Trump was right. The media is fake news, because do you trust the media? Actually, most people don't even watch CNN, Fox News, NBC. Most people don't even watch any of this stuff anymore because it's garbage. You know, instead of what people are watching, stuff like this, stuff that I'm doing right now, or other people like Nick Jones, or other people like, you know, just independent media sources, because these people are not telling you sweet pleasantries or trying to, you know, cause a reaction from you, from the public, from the general public. They're just telling you what's literally going on. But the media nowadays, CBS, ABC, NBC, you know. And like I said, I even hate to say it, but Fox News, all of these news sources, they do not have your best interest, bro. They don't. And I watch Fox News. And I watch NBC sometimes. But they don't have your best interests at heart. These news sources are bought and paid for. They're owned. In fact, most of the news sources that you watch today are owned by a couple of people. maybe about four or five, maybe six people, I think, are the big hitters that own all the news companies combined. Monopoly. Don't listen to this garbage she's saying.
His plan includes making it more difficult for working people to get by and to destroy our democracy. You know what he says he'll do? Terminate the Constitution of the United States.
That's right.
Let me remind folks, you know what's in the Constitution of the United States? The Fourth Amendment, which protects you against unreasonable searches and seizures. The Fifth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, the 14th Amendment. And he's going to terminate the Constitution of the United States, which in most of those amendments, one thing or another was about a movement spurred by black people to ensure that we would be equally protected under the law. Come on.
All right. So if you have no idea what she's talking about, she's talking about part of Project 2025, which Donald Trump has completely distanced himself from. He has nothing to do with Project 2025. So the fact that they keep bringing this back up is really asinine to me, because he already said that he has nothing to do with it. But yet you're saying he's attached to it. Why are you doing that? You're just lying at that point. But okay. Another thing. She's talking about protecting the Constitution. Did you know that she wants to get rid of the First Amendment? How, Greg? How is she trying to do that? Well, she's trying to completely silence disinformation. Now, the problem with that, it sounds great in theory, right? Like, yeah, it's just disinformation. We shouldn't allow disinformation. Well, wrong. Because if you silence disinformation, do you stop there? If you start silencing people who are saying things that aren't true, then you're cutting off their free speech. So if you're willing to go that far, who's to say you won't go as far as, you know, silencing someone who is saying something that is true, but you just don't like what it is because it goes against what the government's agenda is, which is kind of already happening. But that would be deliberately going against the Constitution.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have no interest in protecting the Constitution. That's a fact. Tim Walz is just echoing what Kamala Harris has already said and already believes and is already trying to do, along with all the other liberal Democrats. Yeah. She has no room to talk about protecting the Constitution. Absolutely no room at all. Period.
Let's take a question from Talkback.
Hi, my name is Joshua Fisher, age 31 years old, African-American male from Las Vegas, Nevada. I'd like to ask Madam Vice President, what laws does she have planned to make sure that there's a stop to police brutality and murders that have been going on viciously?
So again, the work that I have done through my career, and the most recently even when I was in the United States Senate to help write the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. Mm-hmm. Cory Booker and I work very closely on that.
Could you tell people why that didn't pass through? Give folks a quick civics lesson.
We couldn't get the votes in Congress. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a clip somewhere of me fighting with a Republican senator to actually...
Same difference.
Right, to actually get it passed. We couldn't get it passed. But what we did when we came in office and during the time that I've been vice president is we passed an executive order. So whereas we were trying, and I have been trying to make these things national so that everyone would have to do it, an executive order by the president and our administration says that for federal law enforcement, the following things have to happen, which we for the first time put in place. No-knock warrants, barring chokeholds. A national database. Now it's for federal law enforcement, but a national database for us to collect information and track police officers who have broken the law. And this is no small.
All right. So there's just one thing, and that's fine. If she wants to do that, I have no problem with that, right? That's not an issue. The problem is the vast majority of police brutality is not happening against black and brown people. It's happening against white people. You know why? Because white people are the economic majority in as far as the population is concerned. So white people actually die at a higher rate at the hands of police than black people because of the population difference. Now, you don't hear any of those situations going viral on the internet. Why? Because it doesn't get the clicks. The media will not cover that because it doesn't get the people outraged. And if you want to know why you see, you know, black people dying at the hands of police all over the news, the media wants those types of clicks. Do you know why? Because there's an agenda. There's an agenda. Oh, really? Yeah, there's an agenda for people to believe that, yeah, black people are being killed at a higher rate. This is racism. No. They just want you to believe that. So that way you can be distracted and you can be an NPC and you can focus on the things that don't really matter. Not to say that people dying at the hands of police don't matter, but the fact is it's not happening. It's like 0.00000001% of people of the population that actually die at the hands of police. Like, the odds of that happening to you is extremely low. And I've had run-ins with the police before. Never had a bad situation, ever. Not even once. If they can get you to focus in on the things that don't matter, they can do things like send billions of dollars to other countries that don't actually affect, that don't actually help or is in the best interest of the American people. You're too distracted to notice, so therefore they can do that. They can go ship billions of dollars, or they can go give billions of dollars to those countries because you don't know what's happening. You don't know. You don't see it. You don't realize it.
Let's go to talk back, Eddie.
Hi, I'm Bobby from Georgia, and I have a question for Kamala Harris. Could you please respond to Trump's claim that he's going to use the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to round up immigrants if he wins the election? This law was last used to put Asian Americans in internment camps during World War II, and I have a sneaking suspicion that if Trump wins, he's going to use this law to put anyone that doesn't look white in camps, and I'm scared. Mm.
Yeah, so you've hit on a really important point and expressed it, I think, so well, which is he is achieving his intended effect to make you scared. He is running full time on a campaign that is about instilling fear, not about hope, not about optimism, not about the future, but about fear. And so this is yet another example. Look what he did in saying that those legal immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, were eating their pets.
All right. First of all, what the heck is this guy talking about? That caller, like, if you think Donald Trump wanted to persecute a certain or particular ethnicity or race, right? Just one question. Just one. Wouldn't he have done that in his first term? This is what I mean by the media is dangerous, because they have really led people to believe that Donald Trump is actually a threat to democracy. How? Wouldn't he have done it in his first term? What are you talking about? Bro, listen, bro. I want to be nice. Seek help. That's the most Christian, Christ-like way that I can put it. Seek Jesus Christ. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And not only that, but he can also help you with your anxiety. Because what are you talking about? Donald Trump has no plans to persecute or I guess harm or put down any particular race or ethnicity. If he did want to do that, he would have done it in his first term. Plain and simple. And he didn't. So, relax. Relax.
He, and by the way, the hypocrisy of it abounds, because on the issue of immigration, let's be clear. Some of the most conservative members of the United States Congress, working with others, came up with a border security bill, which was the strongest, toughest border security bill in a long, long time. It would have put 1,500 more border agents at the border. It would have reduced the flow of fentanyl into our country, which is killing people all over our country of every race and background. It would have allowed us to do more work on prosecuting transnational criminal organizations, which I have done in my career.
Dear God, help me. Please, please help me. God, please, from the heavens above, please give me strength. Because, give me strength, God. She opened the border. She opened the border. Biden and Kamala Harris opened the border. They said, come. Come in. Everybody come in, because we're having a party. You know, we're having a party, and guess what? Everyone's invited. You get to. So it's just very ironic. It's very ironic that she's saying people are dying from fentanyl, right? Well, maybe because the people that you let in are bringing the fentanyl here, and then therefore they're dying of fentanyl. I don't know. Maybe just an idea, right? Hey, man, listen, you can't make this up, bro. She opened the border. And then she's also saying now that she was never the border czar. Okay, even if that's true, you still have to account for the fact that under Trump, you had the least border crossings ever in the past, 12 years? But under this administration, Biden, Kamala Harris administration, you have I think it's like 10 to 15 million undocumented immigrants coming in illegally. Illegally? Bro, no, absolutely not. And the fact is, like I said before, Charlemagne the God will not fact check her, and he will not push back on her, because this is the agenda of the left. This is the agenda that they're pushing, that it was actually Trump that caused all this inflation and immigration and all this and all that. Well, tell me why we lived better under Trump then. Tell me why. Why did you have more money in your pocket? Why were less people dying from fentanyl poisoning or fentanyl? Why were they not dying of fentanyl? Why were they not dying at the hands of, you know, illegal immigrants? Why was the housing crisis not even a thing under Trump? Why? If Trump is so bad, right? Why did we live better? Is anybody asking these questions? Is anybody curious? Why are we living worse now? If you have all the answers, right? Why are we living worse? Why does it cost more for eggs, bread, milk, gas, homes? Why are insurance premiums going up? If you have the solution, why aren't you doing it now? It's a good question though, right?
Economic growth. My plan, for example, okay, so some of the smartest economists in the country have reviewed and compared my plan to Donald Trump's plans for the economy. From Goldman Sachs to Moody's to 16 Nobel laureates, and even most recently, the Wall Street Journal. And in comparing our two plans, the net result is my plans will strengthen the economy, his plans will weaken the economy.
Really?
Their reports come back and include the fact that Donald Trump's plans for the economy would accelerate inflation and invite a recession by the middle of next year. My plans would strengthen the economy as a whole. You look at under what we've been doing.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? You sure about that? You sure about that? Because Kevin O'Leary thinks otherwise.
When you want to build a house in a state, you've got to get a permit. I don't know what state's going to give her a permit for 3 million homes. And so that's never going to happen. Secondly, the reason there's been so much inflation in housing is not just the market. It's the regulatory environment. California's a very good example. Half the cost of a house, 40 to 50% is the cost of the regulatory hurdle to get the permit in the first place. So that has to be changed. Now, this idea of giving free money from a helicopter in an inflated market that's tight, where there's no supply, and the reason there's no supply is half the mortgages that are still out there for the next 3 years are at under 4%. So if you own one of those mortgages, you're never going to sell your house. It's
an
anomaly period because, you're not going to sell your house. And so as a reason, you don't want to pay 7.2% mortgage. You're not dumb. So that's why there's no supply. So this idea that you're going to give $25,000 of free dollars to people, let's say there's one house on your street for sale, and all of a sudden you give nine buyers $25,000 more each, all of that goes to the seller. They'll just raise their price $25,000. This idea is beyond insane. It's the worst policy I've ever heard, and everybody in real estate knows it's a non-starter. That's the second idea I know would never stick, never get through Congress. I mean, how many ways can you think to print money? That's why you have inflation. You got to stop. Remember, this is the same person, and she's going to have to take scrutiny on this in questions, that signed that bill that we didn't need, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act. That ended up being very inflationary.
Let's get the facts straight, right? I think Kevin O'Leary knows more about the economy than you do, Kamala Harris, because he's an actual businessman, kind of like Donald Trump is, right? I would assume that in order to run an economy, you kind of have to know economics, which you do not. You do not know economics. You are a prosecutor. What do you know about economics? She thinks that, in order to lower the cost of housing, we just have to build more homes. Okay, that's only part of the problem. Okay, if you increase supply, the demand will go down, right? If there's not enough supply, the demand will automatically go up. That's a given. That's economics 101. But she's thinking about it so one-dimensional. There's other things that you have to do to lower the cost of housing, right? She doesn't know that. So therefore, since she's not looking at the other aspects of how to lower it, to lower the cost of housing, she's going to directly cause more inflation. She's not going to be helping the economy. She's going to be hurting the economy. Just as Kevin O'Leary has said. I'm going to stop there because this video is getting long. But man, it's really crazy how someone can lie as much as she does and no one cares. And no one cares, in fact, to the point where they're still going to vote for her. It's the sad truth of the matter. So, hey man, I really have nothing else to say. Get in the comment section, like the video if you haven't already, subscribe and hit the bell icon so you get notifications every time I upload. See you guys in the next one. Bye.